Thank you, Bob. We're glad that you're here tonight. I was asking Frank, so do I pray for rain right now or do I not pray for rain? Because we need somebody to get out and fix our sewer line. Joe said rain, Frank said rain, somebody said don't. We need rain, and we just planted new flowers yesterday, so we need rain. I'll let you know how soon they die. Have you ever gotten in trouble for not doing something you weren't told to do? If you did, was that fair? I'm not talking about you men that your wives had said, make sure you carry out the trash, and you were watching your favorite TV show and you pretended not to hear. And so you didn't take out the trash and you made the excuse, well, I didn't hear you say that. Well, maybe you didn't, but maybe you should have. I lost you just by talking about men and women. Tonight I'm speaking about the story of Nadab and Abihu, and I suppose that there is a purpose that this is in the Bible. I have read the Bible, and I'm in the process of reading the Old Testament through again, and I've backtracked back to Leviticus again, because now it's time to start writing the stuff for the sacrificial system that we'll be covering on Sunday mornings. And as I was going back through and reading, and I read this, and my preacher friend from Augusta, Michael Harmon, had given me a commentary written by a member of the Church of Christ. And I thought, this has got to be a good commentary. And so I went directly to Leviticus chapter 10, and I looked at the commentary on verses 1 through 3. And whoever wrote this commentary summed it up by saying, I really don't know why Nadab and Abihu died. And so my thinking was, either he's not very bright, and I'm not very bright, but I got that. I figured out God said it was unauthorized fire. That's not hard to figure out. Or he just cave in and didn't want to tell people what the truth of this story really is. So I don't know which it is, but I know this. I don't know if I'm going to be using that commentary to read anything about the Levitical system. Silence. Aaron, after the death of his sons, remained silent. Now, I'm not going to talk about that silence. I'm going to talk about a different silence. But to begin with, I want to look at two things. Number one, spoken. Those things that are spoken. Now, we turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6, right after the giving of the law of Moses, right after, on the heels of that giving, we want to look at verses 1 through 6. And the Bible says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel. Can you hear that which is not spoken? Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. So when God's people thought about God, what were they supposed to think about? They were supposed to think about those things that God said. There was no room for them to think about the things that God didn't say. There was no place for presumptuousness where we presume to know. So you're looking at me, most of you are. Tell me, what am I thinking right now? Not much. None of you knows. You might presume to know, but not even my wife, who knows me better than the rest of you, would know, unless it was a blue Ford. Blue's my favorite color. Ford's my favorite vehicle. So see, you should have known that. Well, not necessarily. At the end of the giving of the law, there were five verbs from the text that I just read to you. Five of them. And from that, there is the first one is the word observe. The word observe is another word for the word obey. It's you're to observe these. This is what you are supposed to do. I've never been in the military. I do not know what it's like to be owned by the United States of America. And to understand that you have these men who are over you, your commanders and your generals and things like that. I don't know anything about that. But I do know this. When God said something or when God told them to do it, they were supposed to do it. They were supposed to observe it. The second one is keep. You observe them, the laws. You keep them. You don't let them go. You don't forget them. You keep them in your mind. Third is fear. Fear the Lord. Respect, reverence, venerate. That means to put God on the highest plane. And by the way, did you know the word honor means to be heavy? Well, I must be full of honor. Because I'm about 25 pounds heavier than when I moved here. But that's not what that means. It does mean to make heavy and to venerate and to revere. That's the word honor, which is very close to the word fear. Fourth, the fourth verb is live. Observe, keep, fear, live. And then he sums it up. The fifth one is the word obey. And that's not the most difficult word here, but sometimes it's the most difficult thing to do. Especially if somebody has shown you a way to do it other than what God has said. See, there those of you who have grown up in the Lord's church, and you know about that. But then there's people like me and Grady who didn't grow up in the Lord's church. And we had a lot to learn. It was a joy getting to see Franny twice today. And knowing that she didn't grow up in the Lord's church, and she loves God and she loves us and she's wanting to learn. But bottom line, whether you grew up in the church or whether you grew up outside the church, what does God require of us? What has God always required of His followers? Obedience. It's not that difficult. So, while you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 6, go up two verses prior to chapter 6. That's Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 32 and 33. Again, right on the heels of giving the Ten Commandments. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Again, there's the concept. This has been spoken. This has been communicated. This is what you're supposed to do. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Have you ever wondered what that meant? You ever seen a couple of horses plowing together? When we were in Rose Hill back in 1983 and 84, there was some miniature horses who they had somewhere in Rose Hill pulling weight, these sleds with weight on them. And they would pull together but they had blinders on either side as they were working together, evidently so they couldn't turn to the right or to the left. They were to look straight ahead. You and I, as well as these people, have been given the principle that we must not turn aside. We must keep our nose to the grindstone. We must be looking ahead with the concept of obedience. We're not going to turn to the right. We're not going to turn to the left. We're not going to presume to know something that God never said. Do you understand what I just said in that? Because there are a lot of people who presume to know what God never said, and thus they never get around to obeying what God has told us to do. So do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you. Again, this is what He has dictated. He spoke it. He communicated it. This is what He wants. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. You see, there were consequences when those people did not obey God. And it is within this light that we find the story of Nadab and Abihu. They were God's priests. They were the two eldest sons of Aaron. And if you go back and read Leviticus chapter 9, you will find that after the giving of the law, they have the very first worship service recorded under the Mosaic law is recorded in Leviticus chapter 9. And as it proceeded through the stages of its worship, chapter 10 gets to the stage where Nadab and Abihu are supposed to be burning incense to God. And that's what we read in Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3. Now, in 1 Corinthians, this is the New Covenant comparison between the story of Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu knew better. Nadab and Abihu had been commanded by God what to do. And so, observe, keep, fear, live, and obey. Observe, keep, fear, live, and obey. It's not that hard. We find ourselves in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. What does that mean? We observe, we fear, we keep, we live, we obey without turning to the right or to the left. We just keep our nose straight ahead. We want to walk where we know it's safe and where we know it's solid. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. By the way, that means to pass final sentence. We are supposed to make a righteous judgment according to John chapter 7. Jesus himself said, stop judging by mere appearances and make a right or a righteous judgment. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Now, that's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. That is absolutely the equivalent of what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 5. About not turning aside to the right or to the left, except we're living under a better covenant. We're living with better promises. We're living with better blessings than those people did. And it is our responsibility to obey our God. And if we don't, we are in deep trouble. So then, again, the spoken word. The Bible says, at least according to Peter, as Peter was penning one of the last books that he wrote, in 2 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 3, the Bible says that his divine power, that is God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Does the New Testament give us everything we need? Can we please God by obeying the New Testament? And if we can, and we are told not to go beyond what's written, is there punishment for those that don't keep the new covenant? Yeah, we're going to look at that in just a little bit. Is there punishment for those who turn to the right, turn to the left, and go beyond what the Bible tells us to do? Yes. And while I'm thinking about it, turn in your Bibles to the book of 3 John. Second John. I'm thinking of the guy in 3 John who is the Diotrephes, who was splitting the church. But in 2 John, he said, beginning at verse 7, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ is okay with me. Is that what the Bible says? No. It says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. That ought to put the fear of God in you. It puts the fear of God in me. So what God has said is much more important than what God hasn't said. Because when God has spoken, we are required to listen. Now, in Exodus chapter 30, just prior to the giving of the law, and I know it's just prior to Leviticus doing what the law says, the books would actually be better if it was Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. That would be a better order. But we find in Exodus chapter 30, when God requires the altars, there are two altars to be made. One of them is the bronze altar, which is to be the altar on which the sacrifices would be made. But the other one is the golden altar. That's the one we're reading about in Exodus chapter 30, beginning at verse 1. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long and a cubit wide and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold and make a gold molding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the molding, 2 on the opposite sides. 2 to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain that is before the ark of the testimony, before the atonement cover that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. This altar is the altar of burnt incense. It was outside the Holy of Holies, and this is the altar only that the incense was to be burned on. That's what God said. It's the golden altar. Now, if you would go to Leviticus chapter 16. I know Leviticus 16 seems later, than Leviticus 10. But in actuality, if you'll recall, Moses is the one that wrote this stuff under inspiration. I almost said from memory, after they had already occurred, but under inspiration. And we want to look at verse 12. Because in verse 12, it says, talking about the priest, he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord. Now, in Exodus chapter 30, which altar is that? It's the altar of burnt incense. It's the one that's on the outside of the Holy of Holies. That's where Nadab and Abihu were supposed to get the coals for the fire to burn the incense. Again, he is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. And he is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover, etc. But here's the issue. God said, the fire that goes in the incenser is to come from the altar of incense. Now, when you go back to Leviticus chapter 10, the Bible says Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. I don't know where Nadab and Abihu got the fire, the coals, except this. I know where they didn't get the coals. I know where they didn't get the fire. It didn't come from the altar of burnt incense as was required. Now, there will be people who will argue and say that God is unjust in doing that because God didn't say you can't take fire from your home. You can't take fire from the stove. You can't take fire from camping out at the lake. But really, when God said, take it from there, that excluded everything else. God didn't have to say, you can't do this. Are you following me, or do I need to go over all this again? It's 6:35. A person doesn't have to be highly intelligent like you all. I mean, even I can figure this out. But that's what the Bible teaches. And so then, the spoken word was dishonored by Nadab and Abihu. Anybody, and I've run into two people that have said Nadab and Abihu were killed in the presence of God because they were drunk. That is not what verse 3 says. It was the unauthorized or strange fire. That's why they were killed in the presence of God. But here's the issue. This was the first worship service. And it had processed down to Nadab and Abihu doing their part, and they thought they could get away with doing their part the way they wanted to. And there are a lot of people in the world today that worship the way they want to, who will say, but God didn't say I couldn't use a trumpet, a horn, a guitar. God didn't say I couldn't play the bass drum or have a band. Where did God say you could? Is the issue. We're supposed to be concerned about what God told us to do. Not what God didn't tell us to do. So I want to talk to you about number 2, the unspoken. We've been told that we're to live by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We are also told in Romans the 10th chapter in verse 17 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Can you take any faith in what I haven't said? No. No. You cannot take faith in what I haven't said. Can you believe in something that God hasn't said? If you do, it contradicts Romans 10:17. You cannot have faith without God speaking. That's all there is to that. That is the emphasis of Romans 10 and verse 17. And that's why Paul wrote that preachers have beautiful feet, because they bring God's spoken word, not because they don't have any corns or calluses. So then we get to this area, Hebrews the 7th chapter. Again, we're in the New Testament. And this is about honor. Hebrews chapter 7. Here is the comparison between that which was old and that which is new, between the animals and between Jesus, between the Levites and between the tribe of Judah, Jesus. If perfection could have been attained, this is Hebrews 7 verse 11, if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the law was given to the people, why was there still need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe. And no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah. And in regard to that tribe, Moses said, what's the next word? Nothing. Moses said nothing. Well, why didn't Jesus serve at that altar with the animal sacrifices and with the Mosaic Ten Commandments? He couldn't, because that law said, I can wait for a long time, nothing about Judah. It only required from the tribe of Levi. And since Levi was chosen, God didn't have to say, no one from Benjamin, no one from Judah, and no one from the half-tribe of Manasseh or the other half-tribe of Manasseh. God didn't have to go that route. When he said Levi, it excluded everybody else. And so you go back to the preceding verse, verse 13. And no one, talking about the tribe of Judah, Jesus from the tribe of Judah, no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. And I've pointed this out to people, and they scratch their head and they say, well, what does that mean? God said nothing. Therefore, it was excluded. Because God told them what he wanted. Levites. Period. And that's all there is to that. And today, there are a lot of people who want to do what God doesn't tell them they can't do. And I think it's quite hilarious to think about. I've read in the newspaper about some of the things that people are trying to do to get the attention of their worshipers. Do you know that there are some religious groups that while the preacher is preaching, somebody is sending out texts from God? So you can get a text on your phone during worship from God. It's not from God. Do you think God needs a smartphone or a tablet? We haven't begun to conceive of the intelligence of God. But we have seen what He has told us. I would rather live by faith than live without hearing God's word. There are people who want to write and talk about what God didn't say, and you know what the problem with that is? They forget and they disobey what God did say. And that's going on all around us. And there are people within the Lord's church that would like to see the Lord's church change to be like the rest of people. I don't want to change. I just simply want to be what God wants me to be. And one more thing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, there is this stark reminder that God is looking for us to observe, keep, fear, live, and obey. And it says this, He will punish, that is God, Jesus Christ, will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. You see, Leviticus chapter 10 is not filler material. Leviticus chapter 10 is all about honor. And when men or women operate outside the realm of what God has commanded, when they turn to the right, or when they turn to the left, or when they presume to know what God hasn't said, they dishonor God. Because Christianity is about us obeying the truth, that which has been spoken. But that little passage in Hebrews chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, reveal to us the way God thinks. Jesus could never serve at the altar, either the bronze altar or the golden altar, and live under the Mosaic law and be a servant, because according to that, God said nothing. Honor. Again, it's about making heavy. And I'm not the one who's heavy. God is. And we live in a world that dishonors God on purpose. Because they are more consumed with what hasn't been written than what has been written. How can we walk by faith when God hasn't told us to go that direction? Therefore, we will walk by faith in the Scriptures. See, that story's there for a reason. I hope that you've caught it tonight. I hope you understand the concept of spoken and unspoken, and that we observe, and that we fear, and that we keep, and that we live, and that we obey. That is Christianity, even though those five principles came right out of the Mosaic Law. They are also found in the New Testament. It's not ours to question why. It's simply ours to obey. We're glad you're here. Now, I think this lesson is so important because I know where God stands. Because He's told us so. That's not difficult. So then, let's just stand with Him. That's it. Let's just stand with Him. If you're here tonight and are walking with God, thank God. But if you're here tonight and struggling with walking with God, again, thank God. At least you're trying. But you see, we're in this together, and the Lord's church is to help each other get to heaven, even though we may die at different times, we're in this together, and we want to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to sing an invitation song, and we invite you to think about your relationship with God. But if there's someone here that has not named the name of Jesus Christ, has not confessed Him before men, and said, I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and if you've not been baptized into Christ, tonight is a good time to do it. Everything is ready. If we can assist you, please come while we stand and sing.